I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
7:15 now, hot, humid today, chance for showers. It's going to be that way through the weekend. Measly became used vernacularly to mean something small, meager, or contemptible, but actually, it's anything but. That always did strike me as odd, considering the dangers that measles can present themselves with, some of the dangers they can cause. Fred Lopez joins us now. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. How you doing, Dr. Fred?
Good, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay. That always did kind of make me scratch my head about, you know, this, one measly that, when measles is, in fact, nothing to be taken for granted, right?
Not at all. And I think it's important to emphasize that before a vaccine became available in the early 1960s, about 400 to 500 people died from measles in the United States each year, almost 50,000 people hospitalized. Lots of complications, including pneumonias and ear infections, as well as brain swelling in some people. So this is not a measly disease by any account. And unfortunately, we're experiencing a resurgence in the United States currently.
I don't remember if I had measles or not, but do you get measles even if you are vaccinated, or do you just get a lesser case of them sometimes?
Yeah, so a very good point. The vaccine is extremely effective. One dose of the vaccine, 93% effective at preventing measles. Two doses, 97%. And currently, the vaccine recommendations in the United States are for two doses. The first one typically given to children 12 to 15 months of age, and the second one given at the age of 4 to 6 years. And again, two doses, 97% effective. So yes, some people will still develop measles after getting those two doses. It will be an extremely small number, but even if you develop measles after getting two doses, your illness should be less severe, and you're less likely to transmit the measles virus to other people who may not be immune to it.
I don't remember myself, you know, if I had measles or got vaccinated or not, obviously, because I was, you know, Dr. Fred, I'm close to 30 years old. That was a long time ago. But I know my kid who is 28, which is interesting given my time frame. Anyway, never had measles and was fully vaccinated. What's going on in the country with measles cases, and can you define it by region, or are there some areas worse than others?
Yeah, well, you know, there are multiple outbreaks going out throughout the United States. The big one is the one that we heard about in Texas, and that's where many of the cases have derived from this year. But the numbers so far this year are pretty staggering, almost 1,300 cases, in fact, 1,288 cases reported as of midweek by the CDC. That's the most in the United States since the year 2000, when the disease was declared eliminated from the United States. So a very high number. Prior to this year, the most number of cases we had seen since the year 2000 was 1,282 cases. So already in just about half of this year, we've exceeded the largest number of measles cases since the year 2000. And, you know, there's still obviously a lot left to go this year. And there is some concern that we might lose our elimination status for measles if this outbreak and outbreaks elsewhere continue.
Wait, say that part again, Dr. Fred. There's a chance that we might what?
We might lose this status of elimination. So the definition of eliminated, so you'll hear this often said that measles was eliminated from the United States in the year 2000. It doesn't mean that we don't see cases, but the cases that we see are typically in people who haven't been vaccinated. They travel to other parts of the world where they get infected with measles because measles is endemic in many other parts of the world. And then they come back and they have measles, and there may be a case or two spread from that individual, but it doesn't consistently spread. Elimination is defined as basically there's no continuous spread of measles for more than a year. And the United States has had that status since the year 2000. It was almost an issue in the year 2019 when we had all of those cases that we just surpassed. And so there is a concern that we might lose that designation with this year's numbers that we're seeing, doesn't change any of our approaches to measles, which is primarily vaccination. I just mentioned those really impressive immunity rates that are derived from getting two doses of measles vaccine. That's really the answer to preventing measles and containing it so that we can maintain our elimination status in this country.
Politics and science always make for strange bedfellows, and I'm getting the text here right now. Dr. Fred Lopez, our guest, by the way, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. A lot of texts coming in saying how many of these people are illegal immigrants that are bringing measles into the country, but I would hazard to guess the same people that are texting that in would also support RFK Jr., although he has backtracked on his measles vaccine. So the only point I'm trying to make, and I'll leave Dr. Fred out of this, is that you can't, from a scientific standpoint, be anti-vaxxer or blame it on the immigrants that are coming in that are unvaccinated, because you got to pick a side, right? 7:20 more, we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 7:24 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to Dr. Fred Lopez about measles outbreaks. Texas, I guess, is the worst place. And again, I'm getting a text from people saying, is it unvaccinated immigrants? I don't know if there's any data on that, but I can tell you that you can't be anti-vaxxer with RFK and anti-immigrants, unvaccinated immigrants coming into the country. You got to look yourself in the mirror and figure out what it is that you believe. Dr. Fred, somebody texted in and wants to know about, I was immunized as a child for measles. Does it require a booster at any point, or is it one and done?
Actually, best is to get two doses. So particularly if you're going to find yourself in a high-risk setting, for example, you're traveling internationally where, again, measles is endemic in countries that many people travel to, including some countries in Europe, for example. So if you're traveling internationally and you've only had one dose, I would say go ahead and get a second dose to increase the efficacy of the vaccine to 97% in preventing measles. If you work in a healthcare setting, that would be another setting where you'd want to have two doses. But one dose, again, is 93% effective at preventing measles. So you're pretty well protected. But if you want optimal efficacy, two doses is what you should get. And, Tommy, I will share with you some a statistic about who's getting the measles in the United States. 92% of the infections so far this year have occurred in people who are unvaccinated or have unknown vaccination status. So that really speaks to the importance of measles vaccination. Hospitalizations this year so far in about 13% of all cases, and 21% if you happen to be a child less than 5 years of age. And there have been 3 confirmed deaths this year. So again, vaccination, extremely effective. Talk with your healthcare provider to make sure that you've received the appropriate number of doses, which currently universally recommended in this country is 2 doses of the measles vaccine for children 12 to 15 months of age, first dose, 4 to 6 years of age, second dose. If you haven't gotten those doses and you're older, you can get the 2 doses. They just have to be given at least 28 days apart.
Well, what if you're like me and you're close to 35 and you don't remember what you had and what you didn't have?
Yeah, there's no, there are blood tests to determine if you're immune, although they're not always recommended for people. And so oftentimes your healthcare provider may just go ahead and give you another dose of vaccine. There's no harm in receiving that as long as you're immune.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Status is intact. This is a weakened version of a live virus, so we don't give it to people whose immune systems are impaired, who are pregnant, for example. And another contraindication to getting the vaccine would be if you have any history of allergies to components of the vaccine. But otherwise, this getting another dose, even if you're fully vaccinated, isn't going to cause any harm.
So let's talk about the disease itself. There is no cure for it, right? It's a virus. So what's going to happen if you get the measles? What could happen?
Yeah, so typically basically, you get exposed to somebody who's infected. They're coughing, sneezing. It's an airborne virus. You inhale it. And then typically around 7 to 14 days after exposure to that virus, you're going to develop some classic symptoms, high fevers, cough, runny nose, red, watery eyes. Those are the first symptoms to appear. About 2 to 4 days after that, you might notice some little white spots in your mouth that we call coplic spots. And then shortly thereafter, you get this very characteristic red rash. It's a flat rash that develops first on the face and then travels to the rest of your body. And that's the typical presentation of measles. The problem is that you can develop complications from the measles, including diarrhea, pneumonia, brain swelling. And unfortunately, 1 to 3 out of every 1,000 children, for example, who become infected with measles will die from either lung or neurologic complications. So this is, as you mentioned at the get-go, this is not a measly disease by any stretch of the imagination. And to have a vaccine that's so efficacious, we really need to push on it and make sure everybody's received it. One of the issues is for herd immunity to be achieved, we need typically greater than 95% coverage of with vaccines of a community. In the last data that I saw in 2023-2024, kindergartners had only been vaccinated at a rate of about 93%. So we're below herd immunity for our kindergartners against measles, and that certainly isn't helping disrupt the spread of the measles virus, particularly in communities that are under-vaccinated.
Thank you, Dr. Fred. Appreciate your time, Dr. Fred Lopez, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. For the record, for those of you texting, and look, we all want an enemy. We all want a boogeyman. We all want somebody to blame something on, right? The Texas outbreak was originally centered in a rural Mennonite community with a lower vaccination rate, and most of those affected have been children and teenagers, nearly all of whom were unvaccinated or had an unknown vaccination status. And from there, it spread to people whose parents decided not to have their children vaccinated. That from the Texas Health Department. Believe what you want. Blame who you want. I'm just telling you what the Texas Health Department is saying. 7:30, time for WWL First News.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.